don't know. Yo. Oh, shit. Are we good or nah? Can y'all hear me? How's this sound? Anybody? Can anybody tell me? Do we have sound? Sound. Mic check. 1, 2. What is this? The JBP boys back to business. I'm not the JBP boys. It's Lavo. Savion, Lavo. I don't know if the sound works today. I'm gonna go check Facebook. We shall see if you can hear me. Well, I should have shaved. I really thought we'd be okay. We're not okay. Annie, are you okay? Hey, I hear myself. Bitasso. It works. What's going on, beautiful people? My name is Xavier Lavo. Welcome to the Xavier Lavo show, where apparently we was hacked, and it's been a strenuous week. It's like, yo, everything fell apart, but we in here like Schwimmware. Yeah, Monday sucked. I don't know what to say. Monday was just bad. It just wouldn't work. Like, nothing worked. Let's just get into today's show. We'll get into today's topics. I know we missed Monday. Couple of gunshots to Big Papa one time. You know what time it is for hip hop. Let's get the show popping. And we should have a great show. I wanna just say shout out to Samuel L. Jackson, because he's been in like a fucking billion movies. That's the G. He won his award. Can't play the music. But, you know, I had to start with, on Monday, it would have been funnier. Like, everybody and their mom had a deep dive on fucking Will Smith and Chris Rock. Like, I don't even think it was that serious. But we shall see. We shall. My shirt is doing this weird, like, right up my neck thing. Fang. And I have no idea what to do. Now, this is a story all about how my life got turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right here. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Belair. I feel bad for all parties involved, and I know y'all coming to hear me talk that shit. Sorry, I can't play the music, y'all. They get mad. They copyright me every time. It's Kasabian Live 01. What's going on, beautiful people? My name is Kasabian Live. Welcome back to the Kasabian Live show, where we get hacked twice a month. This is episode 307. We're live from Las Vegas, and I'll be your host, Kasabian, with talent on loan from God. But drugs. Drugs don't get done over here. Well. Welcome back. How is everybody? Let's get all the rumors and speculation out the way. No, there was no rumors or speculation. Yo, what's up? How was y'all Oscar weekend? Because I didn't even know we had an Oscar. Oh, shit. What up, loner? I didn't even see you in here. Says the nobody. This is the Nobody's Watching Show. Thank you for being here. Episode 307. We're live from Las Vegas. Thank you to everybody that's watching and listening. Remember, if you're watching, you can't listen. And hopefully this week we'll get the videos back up on Spotify. It's been a weird week. We'll get into all the topics. We'll talk Sam Jackson, Tay Lopez. Let me laugh about my mom's adorable a rant over my child not being invited to a birthday party. Gas prices are up. Let's talk about how much those suck ass. And I am here today to anoint Joyner Lucas as the corniest rapper history. He is the corniest, and we will get into that. An Applebee's franchise owner's email leaked, and well, it didn't leak, it was actually just put on a Reddit thread, and I think it is awesome, and we should definitely dig into that. A boyfriend that was trying to be a good boyfriend was helping his old lady, was fixing some plumbing where he found a dead body. Two brothers were actually freed after being in jail for 25 years on a wrongful conviction. How terrible is that? But let's talk about that. Shine some light on that. The SEC wants you to now start, well, businesses to start showing how climate change is affecting them. And girls need to fart or you're going to go to the hospital and that's not good for you. Like, that's just what it is. And Spotify's payout first and foremost, let's just get into the breakdown and the deep dive with Will. Let me be 1,000% with you. I'm not mad at Will Smith. I'm not mad at Chris Rock. I don't think Chris Rock did anything that was that fucking bad. Nor do I think that Will Smith did anything that was spectacularly bad neither. What I'm interested in, honestly, what I've taken, I guess, joy in is watching the, like, married dudes and then the single dudes and then white people. That's literally the divide. It was just married dudes like, yeah, I'm doing the same thing. And, like, the fake tough guy dudes are like, no, you wouldn't. And then, like, the single dudes are like, no, I'd never do no shit like that. And then the white people just say, call the police or sue them. I'm still not exactly sure why it all happened. That's why I don't understand how to feel about it. I think Chris Rock was spectacular because Chris Rock said something that is timeless. And if you know anything about TV and TV history, after it happened, he said, Will Smith smacked the shit out of me. He said, that was probably the greatest TV moment in history. And then he goes, rock and roll. Bro, Chris Rock was phenomenal. What a good dude for being able to hold his composure. And maybe, you know, in the long and in some type of aspect, they can make up their friendship. Who cares? Who gives a shit? These guys are too busy to be friends anyway. Don't know what to give a fuck. They're probably not even real friends in real life. Like, let's just be honest. It is what it is. Assumption that all famous people are just friends. Nobody buys that bullshit. And of course, Chris Rock isn't going to press charges because guess what? I'm going to name my show Will Smith Smacked the Shit Out of Me, and I'm going to talk about how much of a bitch he is for the next 6 years. I mean, I'm going to run it to the ground and get paid and monetize off of it because Will Smith is probably one of the biggest fucking social media names out there anyway, and now he's the biggest pincushion out. So check on Chris Rock. Make sure he's all right. I feel like that was bullshit on the part of the Oscars because nobody came to stop it. No police need to be involved in every situation. The police are necessary for police dealings. This wasn't that. Sometimes men need to get shit out the way. Now, I think I'm going to slap the shit out of you should have came first from Will before he slapped the shit out of him. It was a horrible slap. It looks like he's never really done that before. He came in just a bit too hot and kind of overslapped. But, you know, it's very dramatic, very Hollywood-esque. To tell you the truth, I thought it was fake. And then I watched it a few times and I was like, oh, it's cut. Then I saw the uncut and I was like, it's not fake. He just came in too high and he looks stupid. I feel bad for Chris. My nose itches. Chris ain't a bad dude. Chris Rock is a hilarious comedian and got caught up in Will Smith's, the fucking story of Will Smith, bro. Like, it's amazing how it's continued to just become a thing of our fucking futures. Anyways, that was it. There's really not much. Everybody's had this deep dive on Will and his psychology and what's wrong with him. I don't know what's wrong with Will Smith. He's got problems that most people don't understand. He's got rich people problems. The August Alsina jokes, them shits get old because that's not what happened. Like, I know y'all keep on making it seem like he was cheating on, but that wasn't what happened. Am I good? Does it sound good? Can y'all hear me? I understand living a different lifestyle. What I don't understand, this is double wrapped. What I don't understand is putting it out there for the world to see in that fashion because it ain't no good. Will Smith been getting poked fun at since fucking a while back, bro. You just play too cool for school, bro. You do that shit that Kevin Hart does where you just happy all the time and y'all not happy all the time. Like, be unhappy. Just be unhappy. The Oscars was trash anyway. Nobody watched that shit. But honestly, I want to send a huge congratulations to Sam Jackson. Samuel L. Jackson has been in over 200 movies. He's a billion-dollar man. He's literally been in more movies than anybody that I could even think of or even know without researching. I've always heard that he was in the most movies ever. I'm sticking to that. Sam Jackson is the most is the person in the most movies ever, period. He's been in the most iconic movies ever, probably more iconic movies than any other actor in the history of cinema, and he finally won an Oscar. Congratulations to Samuel L. Jackson on a job spectacularly done and leading a life of excellence and of one to be proud of. His career, not his life, excuse me, leading a career that's inspiring, very, 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 very inspiring. Like, this man has literally been in every impactful movie of our entire lives, literally our entire lives. Do you guys remember Ty Lopez? You know, the guy with the library and the Ferrari or Lamborghini? He'd be like, hey, this is my Lamborghini, but you know what's cooler? My book. I'm reading this book because this book right here is going to teach me how to get more cars and how to get more books. And he would talk like this, and he had his glasses on, and he'd fish glasses. And he would tell you about how he's going to teach you how to make online marketing tips and moves, and you're going to grow exponentially and be able to read books like me and have cars like this and be successful. So Ty Lopez, he had a great thing going on YouTube. They were spending like $50,000 a day on advertisements on YouTube, where basically he would flood the algorithms with his shit and ads and basically run his ads as... It was so... like, you couldn't get through YouTube in 10 minutes without seeing a Ty Lopez ad. And then you would get sucked into a fucking ad and you start watching him talk with the cars and the books. And it sounded good. Whatever. He made money off of selling classes like a lot of those guys do. And he kind of fell off when the internet figured him out, right? So he pops back up. He buys a bunch of licensing names. So hear me out. Radio Shack's been gone. And a bunch of other businesses have been gone. And out of nowhere, he says, I bought Radio Shack. Everybody goes, why would you buy a failing business? Not only did he did not buy Radio Shack. What he did was that he bought the licensing to the name, and he was going to use that name to have like pop-up shops or use it as just the recognition thing, right? Didn't work. I mean, he did this with like 50 companies. It didn't work. Nobody cared. Now, Ty's gotten into NFTs. These NFTs are utilitarian style NFTs, which is awesome. I've always, you know, my push is for an NFT with a utility, some type of something, which is so stupid to say, but just a piece of paper that has access to something or a secret code that gives you something legitimate, not some bullshit. So he thinks that he has a fan base of millions and millions, in which he doesn't. You see, because he's not an entertainer. This idea that these just regular, most influencers aren't entertainers, so they're not going to have a real audience. Can they sell products? Yeah, for a short period of time, and that shit phases off. They don't last. It is a reason why Jamie Foxx is still here. There's a reason why Will Smith is still here. There's a reason why these people are still around. There's a reason why entertainers are still entertaining. And the fly-by-nights fly-by-night. So he sets up this NFT. And there's different tiers. But there's one that's very particular that kind of blew me away. He's offering to have a movie date with him. And you spend $60,000. It's all in ETH, by the way, because, you know, it's crypto, right? So you don't know shit. You spend 19 ETH. That's just like $69,000 to go watch a movie with him that he picks. Now, who in the fuck is going to spend any type of money to watch a movie with somebody else that they don't even know, and they get to pick the fucking movie? And what's the purpose? Like, who are you? What have you done, bro? You're the guy that talks. Like, I knew it was bad for you when you were doing infomercials with the Catch Me Outside girl. Like, I was like, oh, this dude's a rap, son. Like, don't get me wrong. The story sounded good, but then when you start to really listen to him, it kind of falls apart. This man starts his NFT collection, and besides all the preposterous bullshit of just hanging out with him for an absorbent amount of money, there's clubs at the top tier. There's going to be a club that he's providing, a restaurant, and other things that he doesn't have the fucking, not the money, the capital, or even the bros. 600 people bought the NFT. 600. You have to now build a hotel, a restaurant, and a club for 600 people. How the fuck are you going to maintain that? That doesn't even make any sense. These are obligations they've put themselves into. On top of, with the blockchain, we can see every single thing that you do. So the fact that when you bought whatever product from him and that transaction was literally taken and then put right into a specific wallet, that raises a lot of red flags. These are the great things about blockchain, being able to see the transactions, where they go, what are they doing, and why are they moving in such a way? This is shady as fuck. And it, of course it is. It didn't work out. They were trying to resell them for a 10 time higher price and all this crazy shit. It's not working. The bubble's busting on it because it doesn't make any sense. But once again, his top tier NFT is supposed to have access to a one of a kind, exclusive to you and you only hotel, you and you only club, you and you only restaurant if you have that NFT and you have the power to sell that NFT. Nobody bought it. 600, less than 600 people. 560 people bought the fucking card. This guy is officially just donezo. And there's guys on YouTube that do the scam. Oh, I gotta sneeze. No, my bad. Didn't sneeze. There's other guys on YouTube that do deep dives into these types of scams, and I would implore you, go look into these because they're very, very interesting, and you may understand why these people do this shit. Listen, it's tough. It's very tough. These people, you know, they start some shit that they can't really substantiate, and please hold. And they have to, you know, they got to stand by it. They got to stand by it, and they got to just continue to make an ass of themselves. They have to stay relevant in order to keep the money coming in too, right? Because the investors that do believe in the bullshit won't believe in it when you fade out. Once you fade out, they're like, what the fuck are we doing? This guy's a loser. Fucking loser. So I thought it was hilarious that my mother, she calls me the other day, and she goes, yo, were you invited to such and such's birthday party? I was like, no, I wasn't. But so what? I don't care that family members don't invite my kids to their birthday parties. I have had kids longer than I have not. Okay. So first kid, 17, 18, and I've had kids since, right? So it's 18 years of my life without kids. And from that point on, I've had kids. I never bought gifts for nobody else in my family. I didn't care to buy them gifts. But what? When I turned 18 and I was making like a substantial amount of money, I was taking care of my kids. So me giving gifts wasn't the thing. I was the only child. Even though I have brothers, I wasn't raised with them. I was raised with my grandparents. And the same people that didn't invite me to the birthday party are the same people that would buy me gifts that were like too small, didn't fit, weren't even worth, you know, giving to somebody. And then would like look at me like, just give it back. We'll figure it out. Never give it. Like, it was a weird family dynamic. So when shit like this comes up, I think it's funny, but why is my mom so upset about this shit? Like, where does she think that she has, like, I find it, it's just funny. It's funny, like, the idea that the entitlement that she has to be offended that somebody else didn't invite me or my child to their shit. That is so strange. I don't even have a relationship that close with my mother to even think that that's a thing. Does that happen to y'all? Like, when y'all parents get mad for your kids? That's weird. I don't know. I don't know. The whole grandparent thing is always such a weird thing to me. Gas is up 40% in Vegas. Saturday, I got my appointment for my electric car. I'm debating over two of them. We'll see what happens. And I might end up in a Kia. I'm keeping it a buck. That new Kia. Those electric Kias are the shit. So my Facebook was hacked, in which hacked everything and ruined everything. But it wasn't just me. A bunch of content creators were hacked by this stupid page, which blows me away because Mark and his little fuckboy friends couldn't figure it out. If you look on the page, it was obviously fake, but it had a real link, and it was a real Facebook hyperlink. How the fuck was somebody able to make a fake Facebook hyperlink with all the real Facebook fixings? It doesn't make any sense. You can't post the meme with the little boy from, what's that movie with Alfalfa in them? It's not the Rugrats, it's the, Little Rascals. There's a meme with the little boy from the Little Rascals, and he's like, girls have vaginas and boys have peepees or some shit, and that says false. Like, they'll fact check that, but they cannot fact check or stop a fake fucking page that hit thousands of content creators and fucked up all their accounts. Like, I haven't changed that dumbass password, which I probably shouldn't say, but I haven't changed that password in forever. Yeah, they got me, my dumbass. I typed in my number and shit. I'm like, oh, man, it was like, yo, we're going to delete your page in 2 days if you don't hurry the fuck up and report to us now. And I was like, oh, shit, let me report. You know, I'm trying to do this shit, right? I got played. So Jordan Lucas is the corniest rapper in the history of hip hop. And that's it. He wins it hands down. There's nobody else like him. Nobody. He goes on a rant. That completely just get the fuck out of here, Joyner. He said he's the hottest independent rapper ever. He has the highest numbers to prove it. No, he doesn't. Nobody listens to Joyner Lucas. Sorry, dog. It's a rap for you. It's curtains. You're not the highest anything independently. As long as Tech N9ne is still alive, even though you shouted him out, you don't come close. Not even a little bit. There's 10 of the dudes in front of you before him. Stop it. You're not even in the same realm. The only success you had was the plugs they got you with M and the little shit you did with Chris and them. But besides that, your whole career was trash because the best song you put out was the song that sounded like all the dudes you was dissing. That's one. Then a couple of months ago, you started shit with Karen Civil saying that she robbed you. That was a lie. The whole situation was not what you said. You said you were down to your last $50,000 and that Karen stole that money from you and took food out of your baby's mouth because you were down to your last 50. When in reality, you were being invested by a business partner, which I'm assuming is your parents. They gave you $500,000. You were down your last 100 and you burnt that 50 with Karen, and Karen did what she could, but hey, with a shitty product like yourself, she couldn't really make anything happen. Did she rob you? No, not at all. You lied. You made that narrative up. You never told anybody that in reality, you were literally working with someone who put $500,000 in your pocket, and $450,000 of those dollars didn't work before that. But you thought that this 50 was going to work with Karen, and you went at her neck and you really tarnished her name for nothing because you've disappeared once again. And now here we are back again. Now you're complaining about the size of your name on a flyer. My boy, nobody cares. Nobody cares. And then you attack MGK. Let me tell you something. MGK has done probably one of the dopest rebrands ever. Excuse me. He went from being a rapper to just literally an artist. He's not even a rock star. This guy's a movie star, a rapper, singer. He does it all. He's playing instruments. Like, he's so interesting, right? Why would Joyner go at him? Like, different lanes, different categories at this point. Like, to me, Machine Gun Kelly sits on a whole different... Look, I was fighting for Machine Gun Kelly when it was like Yellow Wolf Machine Gun. My manager was like, nah, Yellow Wolf is the guy. Yellow Wolf is the guy. And I'm like, nah, bro, we should go fuck with MGK. He's that guy. Bro, Yellow Wolf flop, ended up being a fucking racist. And look, I was right. MGK was that guy. Now, the fact that Joyner goes at MGK, that wasn't surprising. He's just a drama queen, right? And then he attacks the festival. Take me off of this festival flyer. I don't want to fucking do this. Leave me the fuck alone. Okay, that's cool. And then the next day, he gets right back on Twitter and apologizes to everybody and goes, my bad, I was hacked by Russia. You are the corniest fucking rapper in the history of rap. You are so fucking corny. You are so corny. It's not even funny. What's the point? Nobody's listening. This shit is dumb, bro. Leave MGK the fuck alone. He just dropped a new album, which got fire on it. He's living life. But you, sir, you for sure won that one. Won that one. Straight L, bro. Hold that. Man. Let's get into these. Let's get into these stories. And let's laugh at this Applebee's story. So this is an email thread from a franchise owner who's basically expressing his glee for how terrible the economy is doing and how they can take advantage as franchise owners. And, you know, pay less and make more, like all businesses do, which I've said before. Businesses forget that people are products, which the unions are starting to pop up left and right. So if the unionization of the world starts to happen because businesses don't get it, there's going to be a lot of failing businesses because people aren't making the money they deserve. Yes, it's a deserve thing because you have to be paid what you're valued at. And you're obviously undervaluing their pay because they're in need. So the people have started to tell you to fuck off, and now they're coming back because they still got to pay bills. So now you want to double take advantage of them. That's what's happening here. And in this email, he basically breaks down. I got it out of ink. It says, so I had to cut through it because there's a bunch of shit. So we got to the meat and potatoes of it. It was in the middle of, excuse me, because I knew I was going to do this. Hold on. It's an email thread that an employee posted to a Reddit. I don't know if I said that, but let me say that because it's not specifically like the email that was sent out. I guess they were like bits and pieces they put up there. And this was like the most fucking, it's business talk, but it's fucked up. And you should know how these people think. It's what's in the middle that's problematic. The email leaked in a Reddit anti-work subreddit identifies the executive only as Wayne, who focuses on how the trials of employees are a good thing for Applebee's. His logic is as follows. Government unemployment checks are ending, forcing people to get jobs. Rising prices due to inflation are causing small businesses to close. High gas prices mean people need to work more. Fewer businesses will be open, so people will be looking for more jobs. Therefore, Applebee's can hire people at lower wages. See, people hear that and get offended. Don't be. A business is a business. But the negotiation power from the worker's perspective is literally null and void. It's like you can't even fight for your rights to get paid properly. And it's very, very unfortunate that we've come to a point in time where the unions have to step back in as if it's the 1920s again because people aren't getting their just dues. It's terrible. Now, this does not reflect anybody at Applebee's. Applebee's did come out and say, listen, this was just that CEO, that franchise owner. He has nothing to do with Applebee's and Applebee's Incorporated. But, you know, they can have their own thoughts on how they run shit. Applebee's doesn't condone that kind of shit. Nonetheless, I'm sorry for cussing. That's just ignorant. But nonetheless, Applebee's, prove them wrong. You're going to have to prove them wrong. So a boyfriend was helping his old lady, and he found a dead body. It's from the New York Post. A man found a dead body underneath his girlfriend's home while doing some plumbing work. Tracy thought it was a dead animal that was causing the foul smell. She could never imagine it was a rotten corpse. She told KDKA that her boyfriend was fixing the plumbing on her mobile home on Thursday when he came across the skeletal remains. Recalling the ordeal, Dotis said, oh, can I do the voices? I'll do the voices.
Oh, no, wait, that's her.
My bad. I'm the girl right now. Okay, hold on, ready? Dotis said, he came out and he's like, Tracy, you're not gonna believe this. Oh, no, wait, that was him. God damn it. All right, hold on. Let me.
Hold on. I'm gonna do it again. Because he said, Tracy, you're not gonna believe this. And then she said something.
All right. So he came out and he was like, Tracy, you're not gonna believe this.
I'm like, what? He's like,
I think there's a dead body under there.
At first, oh wait, that's just
the news reporter. At first, Dotis thought her partner was joking until they unearthed the bones. The police were called and the cops said the human remains were in an extreme state of decomposure, WPXI reports. How do you even begin your day with, babe, I think there's a dead body under the house. Call 99 Guang helping me. Porque estoy scared. Why was that person underneath there? Why was this like this? And he was just being a good boyfriend, helping out his old lady, fixing the plumbing on the mobile home and shit. Why they do them like that? Who gonna rob me? Boy, sit your ass down with that robbing me shit. Now, I like shedding light on stories about people that are wrongfully convicted and they're released. Because sometimes they go forgotten. So these two Michigan brothers were released. The story is from The Guardian. Two Michigan brothers who were wrongfully convicted in the murder of a family friend walked free Tuesday as we're? Oh, shit, my bad. And were reunited with their family after 25 years behind bars. George and Melvin De Jesus were convicted in 1995 of killing Margaret Midcliffe. Oakland Court Circuit Judge Martha Anderson set aside their convictions early Tuesday. So, I thought they did it in Michigan, but apparently it was in California. This story was fucked up because the guy that did it all was just basically like, they told me to. Blew my fucking mind. Literally. Gunshots to Big Papa. I wish to apologize for the actions taken for your fellow citizens against you, Anderson said. 25 years of your life has been taken, and... How do you just say that? Did you hear what the fuck? 25 years of your life has been taken from you that cannot be replaced. How can you even utter the first part? 25 years of your life has been taken. Just right there alone. That's amazing to me. As what's asked, what's next for the brothers? Melvin De Jesus said it will be a collective decision. In quotes, I believe it's going to be a family meeting. A get together to see what our next... What's next on our agenda as free men, because we were kids when we came in and now we're men, which is incredible. 25 years. He credited his mother in particular for never letting them lose hope, saying he never doubted that one day they'd be free. A year later, DNA from the scene was matched to Brandon Gohagen. Assistant Attorney General Robin Franklin said Thursday that no DNA was ever discovered that connected the De Jesus brothers to the crime. Fuck you. Testified in the trial in 1997 that the brothers forced them to sexually assault Midcliffe and that, yo, what the fuck? How did it? And that they killed her. George and Melvin De Jesus were convicted of murder and sentenced to life in prison, while Goji Han was convicted of second degree murder and first degree criminal sexual conduct. But Goji acted alone. He acted alone. He literally just said, they made me do it. They made me go rape her and they made me kill her. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. They made me her and then they made me go her. That's crazy. 25 years, bro. Look, glad they freed the boys. Free the rest of them, you know? So, the SEC, they mean well. A lot of companies like to show off that they're as green as possible because it's good for tax incentives and shit, and you pay for your greenhouse emissions, so it's kind of bullshit anyway, right? Like, if you send extra money, they give you extra pollution. Crazy. Now it's going to be a thing that they ask for from all companies, and I think it's a good thing. I don't see how it's not a good thing, but this came from NPR. Every year, public companies in the United States are required to provide investors and regulators with detailed data about their financial performance and the risks they face. Soon, they also have to disclose information about how they are dealing with climate change. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission on Monday formally proposed new rules that would, for the first time, require businesses to report the greenhouse gases emission, greenhouse gas emissions, along with details of how climate change is affecting their business. Though some companies, such as Apple, have voluntarily reported climate-related information until now, there haven't been any standardized requirements imposed by the SEC. In a statement, this is interesting because, again, I just don't understand what it does. Like, what would it change? Is this just another regulation? Does this affect your business? In a statement of support for the proposed rules, SEC Chairman Gary Gensler said the regulator is responding to demand from investors and companies, giving the increased push for information on risks climate change related events pose to businesses. Our core bargains from 1930 is the investors get to decide which risks to take. As long as public companies provide full and fair disclosure and truthful in those disclosures, Gensler said the principles apply equally to our environmentally related disclosures. I mean, I guess I really don't understand, but I figure somebody would be affected by it. Let's talk about it. What else? Oh my God. Okay. Let me clear my nose. So this is semi-interesting story because I found it interesting when it first came up, but there's been so much going on with Chris and Will that it kind of took away from how funny it was at first. So it's from the New York Post, and it's about a girl that wouldn't fart in front of her boyfriend. The singer might have... Why am I reading this shit? The singer might have fared better if she let it go. Brazilian songstress Viviana de Quijero Parahia had to be hospitalized after her reluctancy to fart in front of her significant other, resulting in the dangerous gas buildup. She detailed her gastrointestinal fiasco on an Instagram story for her 15.7 million followers, which has since disappeared from her feed. Oh, she put up a bubble of this bullshit. I woke up at 5:30 a.m. with severe stomach pains. Hey, that happens. Where am I? My bad. I woke up at 5:30 a.m. with severe stomach pains and ended up in a hospital. She's known by her stage name Pucha. In the post, Pucha, a 27-year-old superstar, posted herself in a medical facility and a screenshot on social media. Per the post, Pucha affliction started after... after she refused to let her rip because she wasn't on farting terms with her boyfriend. The gaseous gal also reported heeding advice from TikTok. First off, what is farting terms? That's a thing? Yo. Oh, shit. A TikTok thread told her to ignore the stomach pains, which eventually resulted in her having to report to a doctor with an accumulation of trap farts. That is beyond me how that's a real story. Bust my shot for TikTok. Marco. That shit is wild, bro. And to top off today's story, pause. Let's talk about Spotify and how much they pay. And another reason why I feel like Spotify is going to get out of paying music and even playing music and even paying musical artists because there's just no point. Now, remember, Spotify has a leg up on a lot of other DSPs because they allow artists to directly upload. Plus, They own a majority of the podcast servers, so a lot of podcasts upload there too. So it's a bigger server, it's a bigger space, and it holds a lot more information. And they have a lot more content, which means they can sell a lot more ads, different demographics, as opposed to just a Apple, which is literally only pushing music and that content. So it's at a mixed mag. Well, I don't know where the hell this was from because it's in euros. So let me get that out the way too. I'm not going to do the euros, but we'll do the American numbers, if that makes any sense. Figures in Spotify's annual transparency report, loud and clear, show that only 52,600 artists generated more than $10,000 on the streaming platform in 2021. It's not easy to make money off of streams. Do not bank your career off of streaming. It's not a thing. Spotify have paid out more than $7 billion to right holders, including artists, labels, and distributors last year, which is up, damn, bro, from 2020's $5 billion. So they put up another $2 billion. That's a lot of growth. Pause. According to Spotify, this is the largest sum to be paid from one retail to, why can't I read today? Paid from one retailer to the music industry in 1 year, including any single retailer at the height of the CD era. Imagine that. The physical copy has already been dwindled by digital, superior. The reports reveal that Spotify's revenue in 2021 alone was higher than the industry's total revenue for each year through 2009 to 2016. It says a lot. There was a weird gap where music wasn't selling on discs. A lot of bootlegging was happening. Mixtapes didn't really count. The record label was losing money behind the mixtape things. Spotify was around, but it wasn't really doing much. Now it's crushing. In 2021, there were 8 million artists on a streaming platform. Over 1,000 artists garnered around 750,000 euros from Spotify's, with 450 artists generating 1.5 million euros and 130 artists generating around 3.7 million. That's not a lot. Spotify does not pay their artists on their platform directly, but to the right holders instead, meaning that most of the money made goes to the labels and publishers, which is what the issue has been, that everybody says, oh, the label makes all the money. Well, the label owns the music, so the label can make all the money. Most of these guys are on playlists. There's money that's getting moved around. Labels own a lot of this shit. How are we supposed to fight with the labels when they're doing this? It's their game. It's their world. How much is a stream worth? Nobody knows. All the complaining, and Spotify pays the most, even though Tidal pays the most, I guess, up front. Spotify's bigger. It's just like the whole Walmart to the mom and pop conversation. So is Spotify really a problem? I don't think so. I just think that we have to stop depending on streaming, because the value in streaming is going to become literally like the benchmark for your talent or your product. Farming ain't going to work no more, because it has to literally go off of just watch time. You know, we're living off of watch time. It's I don't know. It's mind-breaking, mind-boggling, mind-bottling. That's what it is. Mind-bottling. And that's it. Plus a couple shots for Big Papa. Thank y'all for being here. Appreciate y'all. I got the hiccups. I appreciate y'all. I'm going to go play video games with my friends. My name's Xavier. Live in the moment. Don't live in the past. Be safe. Stay dangerous. Lavo loves you. Wine.